All right.
Just that the recording has finished. Wow. The recording has finished. Are you sure, Zencaster? Hello. Welcome to the Anti-Power Hour number 8.
Was it 8? Yeah. Ocho.
That's what my documentation tells me. This is the My Birthday episode.
Happy birthday to Lucy.
Yay.
The one and only, an amazing co-host. How was your birthday?
I haven't done anything in a nice way. Because I'm 4 years behind the times, I've been playing Animal Crossing on a Switch that I now have, which is exciting. And Animal Crossing wished me a happy birthday, and the animals threw me a party, so that was nice.
Those are some nice animals.
Yeah.
I have to disagree. I think you're way more than four years behind the times in most regards, though.
That's actually true.
Sure.
But it's almost weirder to be slightly behind the times. Like, I recently decided I like Olivia Rodrigo, which for me is practically, like, she had an album last year, I believe.
Wow. This is progress for you. This is progress for you.
Well, and also actually seeing Taylor Swift last year, technically, is.
Oh, you saw Taylor Swift. That's right. I had forgotten about that. That is the most current thing.
There was a millennial woman named Taylor last year, the comedian Taylor Tomlinson, who discusses Taylor Swift.
Oh, I think I've seen her specials on Netflix or something.
I recommend both Taylors.
Well, that sounds like fun though. I know my wife looked into tickets for those shows, but it was too hard. It was almost like a lottery system.
Yeah, my brother made fun of me for. I literally just had a browser open on my phone, but it was for 5 hours, and he thought that was like.
Oh yeah.
I was like, I wouldn't do that for Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, you would.
Bro, you wouldn't do that for Led Zeppelin. You're insane if you wouldn't do that for Led Zeppelin.
Yes, you would.
Crazy. Crazy. Either if he's either lying, he's either lying or just wrong. And
he's lying.
I mean, okay. Well, he would have terrible taste if I would do 10 hours.
I mean, back in the day, people used to stand in line for concert tickets in person.
Wow, what a concept!
I know. Technically, I kind of did that for the second Star Wars prequel, but it was just my friends and I loitering in front of the mall for like 10 hours.
Sounds like the 2000s. Sounds like the 2000s.
Yeah, that was actually fun, though. It was fun.
That sounds great. Let's go back to that. Do malls still exist, or were they abolished?
They exist. Yeah.
I don't know. They exist like birds exist.
Yesterday. That was almost like the mall. Birds exist. I'm tired of this fucking birds don't exist stuff.
Well, have you ever seen a bird with your own two eyes?
Yeah, my grackles are back to my feeder. I'm pumped. I love grackles. Do you know what a grackle is?
No, I was about to ask.
You should fucking Google grackles. They look like oil slicks. They have like this black, I mean, like a shine, shiny fur. And they have these really intense yellow eyes. And birds
wow.
hate them because
wow.
they're all cranky sounding and stuff. But I think bird people are racist. So.
Too bad they're not real. Bird people. Oh, I didn't know bird people exist too.
Jeez. No, like, oh, I only want a delicate songbird at my feeder. It's fucking. I want those bully birds that punch other birds in the face. Nature.
You want Looney Tunes birds.
Claw. Yes.
You want cartoon characters in your backyard.
Well, that was a good podcast. Bye, everybody. Nope, not really.
Solid discussion.
We just had a meta, not a meta, we had a pre-podcast.
You mean Facebook? Oh.
About how we didn't have any topics. I can hear our audience leaving even now. We thought, what did we think about discussing? We thought about discussing immigration, because people are terrible as usual.
We thought about discussing how there's nothing to talk about, and like the news, the daily news hosts, they just like say bullshit and fill the air.
Well, that's not fucking
But that's American. That's us now. That's what I'm doing.
Wow, we're just like a fucking morning show here at 4 p.m.
Yeah, we're morning at 4 p.m. Well, thanks for starting your day with Lucy and Corey.
Yeah, actually, we would have an amazing morning show where we just wasted your time for hours.
Like every morning show.
Yeah, but it would be. But I would be really tired and annoyed, so it would actually be terrible.
Could you imagine if we did podcasts in the morning at like 8 a.m.? Oh, I think we would be decrepit zombies.
That would be so bad.
Somehow worse than our actual podcast, I imagine.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't watch the State of the Union address. Instead, I went to Barnes & Noble.
There was a State of the Union?
Yeah.
When? No. Yesterday. Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I did hear. Dude, I'm so proud of myself that I genuinely had no idea what you're referring to.
If you're not doing a drinking game, what's
the That's the first time. How did I not see more of that on my social media? Wow, I'm so proud of myself.
The best thing about Joe Biden is that he's weirdly ignorable. Which maybe is bad for shit that, you know, matters, but at the same time it still feels like a
That's crazy. I feel like it's been over 10 years, maybe 15 years since I've been into politics for so long. That I wasn't like cognizant. Oh, they're sitting here. Like I stopped watching them a long time ago, but I definitely would constantly hear about them and see comments on them.
I think George Bush's last one, I played a drinking game with beer, so I didn't, you know, die beer sips, and the event really just flew by. But I don't really drink anymore. My tolerance is comically low, so any politician could kill me now.
In multiple ways.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're ridiculous. I did have my first Trump-related nightmare a couple days ago. It wasn't really a nightmare.
Well, you're, like, behind the times in, like, 8 years for that one.
Well, I mean, shit could have happened that I don't remember. I was having a long, rambling dream, and at some point, Trump showed up with, like, a crown. And he had, like, some dudes who, like, had, like, a trad cath vibe. I don't
Oh my God.
I was like, well, that's not good.
Well, I'm worried. I mean, what if you're sort of, you know, prophesizing? I mean, what if you're not dreaming, you're imagining and seeing the future?
I would have loved that part of the dream to have been more nonsensical and less vaguely concerning. It's true.
Man, you gotta have better dreams.
You know, I used to be able to lucid dream and then I fucking forgot how, which.
How to lucid dream. That's
I did.
Something about that. So I was going to ask if you could lucid dream, you could have gone over and punched Trump in the face in your dream. Dream Trump. Stolen his crown, worn it, or maybe, you know, smashed it because we're anti-power hour here.
Yeah, thank you.
But you could have worn it just for the aesthetic, not the power, maybe. If you just like crowns. That's true. Spray painted it black to kind of fit with your kind of dark vibe. No offense.
I'm dressed like a ANCAP or a Pittsburgh Steelers fan today by accident.
Or both. Or both.
Offends me more, to be honest. I don't... But
How many... I mean, there's got to be someone on the Steelers has got to be an ANCAP, probably.
That is a disturbing statement.
They're just sharing Rothbard books in the locker room. They're like... They got the flag.
As someone from Pittsburgh, I hate football. I have multiple uncles involved in sports broadcasting.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Like Joe Madden, is he your uncle or was your uncle?
No, my like local news stuff. My uncle did the play-by-play for the Penguins, the hockey team.
Oh,
and my
shit.
Uncle John, the mustache conservative, did a bunch of KDKA stuff.
The mustache conservative.
Like a sports family, and like.
And you're a contrarian.
Well, something I don't like almost is I come from a people who think that, like, the insane shirtless guy going, rah, is crazy, but they still dutifully watch every football game. Like, it's like some vaguely pleasant responsibility, but they're, like, too cool for the crazy people. I almost find that weirder than being crazy about it.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go all in. Just go full crazy on what you enjoy, for sure. I'm in that camp.
I mean, and then my resentment of football has turned into a vaguely political objection to it solely because I secretly wish I'd become a neurologist. And traumatic brain injuries are so bad. And even the cumulative effect of the small hits in football appears to be very bad. So
right.
It's really boring to watch, and it fucking destroys people in the sense that people live in here. That's all they are. So I kind of think people should probably stop playing it, honestly.
That's probably one of, I mean, I've known you for a while, and that you're rarely this moralizing. about something that's surely voluntary on the part of the players. And I think even if you find it boring, I don't know. I think there's just lots of risky activities. I mean, we kind of talked about this before the show, but there's many risky activities people enjoy and professions, and I don't know. There's varying degrees of risk averseness.
Anything where you're supposed to hit your head against someone else's head. I know they've tweaked this slightly, but and that's part of the whole proceeding is really bad for you.
I don't disagree with that.
In California, I believe, a ban on some variety of youth football failed recently. Youth tackle football. And I was a little conflicted with my rampant statism because, I don't know, my mom was cutting edge because she did not want my brother to play football when he wandered into high school for a while. No offense to him, but it didn't come up because he sat on the bench a lot.
Ooh.
But she knew what was up. He was the best homeschool touch football player.
We are, your brother, our guest tonight. Joseph Steigerwald.
No, he did text me happy birthday and International Women's Day.
Oh my God, your birthday's on International Women's Day? That's right.
I'm the international woman.
You are the international woman.
Happy new Judas Priest album release day. So
wow.
I'm supposed to celebrate all three.
This might be the best day of your life. Sorry about that.
It's all downhill.
Yeah.
Also, I just
let it out.
I can't do the Taylor Swift and Football Man thing because the paradox of Taylor Swift is that she is really corporate and like mercenary and incredibly good at business and very capitalist, you know, pejorative and less so sense. But the thing that saves her is that she writes lovely, vulnerable, personable, like just good songs, you know, great songs. But Taylor Swift plus the NFL suddenly to me is purely corporate. Like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, they're so cute together, blah, 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 like, and whatever. But there's something about that union that's pure corporate to me, and that it's deeply dull. I don't know.
Well, it's an interesting crossover. I mean, it's like we had the monoculture back for like a few weeks, I feel like.
Yeah,
like that's true. I felt like everyone, even me, who I don't watch football anymore. I used to watch it all the time, but now I still watch the Super Bowl. So I like, you know, saw like at the Super Bowl, like, oh wow, like that they weren't kidding. She's like up there and involved, and they show her a bunch.
Well, I mean, it was like 50 seconds because people were complaining about the complaining. Anyway, I don't know, but I guess for the Super Bowl, that's a lot.
Well, it's interesting.
For ad space, that would be expensive.
Yeah, like if you compare it to any other individual person being shown, and I'm not really complaining. I don't care either way. I just thought it was humorous, almost the, you know, seeing her candid reactions and them wanting to show this one guest in the stands.
It's weird for me to like anything super popular, that being...
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you.
Not football. But I've decided I like Olivia Rodrigo now, so...
Oh, good for you. Good for you. You're really improving yourself, I feel like, as a person, based on what you're telling me.
I spent the entire 90s being like, I only like Simon and Garfunkel and the Beatles.
Really?
So.
Man, you sound fun to have been around. What if we knew each other in the 90s?
That Man. Was kind of fun. You'd be a baby and you'd be like...
No, like, I wouldn't be a baby.
Like you're a baby.
No.
You'd have a sweet beard.
Yeah, I had a beard back in the 90s. Well, how old do you think I am? Jeez.
You were a baby at some point.
No, I wasn't, dude. No, I wasn't. What are you talking about?
All right, fine.
This is crazy. I won't take this slander and libel sitting down. I'll continue sitting down, but metaphorically.
I almost feel like my segue from being hip and cool should be into the political boob situation. So you're the one who said we should talk about this, and now we have to.
All right, everybody. Good night. What?
It's time to talk about breasts as a hot topic, at least briefly. Don't you think it's time?
the political boob situation is maybe the best thing ever said on our show.
What's that fucking scumbag's name? Richard, what's his name?
Hanania.
Yeah.
Yes. Seems to have inaugurated this discourse. No, because I said before the show, I don't want to legitimize this nonsense with airtime on our show. But no, Lucy says we have to talk about the political boob situation. There's a political boob situation. It was a joke in the messages.
And then you were like, no, just kidding.
It's true.
We have already talked about sexy cartoon characters or lack thereof on one episode, which also involved Richard Hanania.
I don't remember doing that.
I think we did. It happened.
I mean, it's something I could see myself talking about sexy cartoon characters. I just don't recall that exact discussion you're referencing.
Okay, so this chick from Euphoria and some other stuff.
This chick from Euphoria. Wow.
Yeah. Who isn't Zendaya, because that's all I know. Sydney Sweeney, who I don't know who she was really, but there was something about her boobs on Saturday Night Live and how she's blonde and somehow fucking wokeness is dead and boobs are back, baby. And this is an insane thing to talk about.
Yes.
But there's something there.
There is.
Conservative insanity and poor Sydney Sweeney and her poor breasts, because I don't envy her being a topic of conversation in this way.
I feel bad for her.
I know. It's troubling.
And she's a good actor, too. I've only seen her in season one of White Lotus. But great show. And
I'm saying actress now because wokeness is dead. Actress.
Oh, sorry. Actress. Great actress.
I think something condescending, more like actressina, little actress lady girl.
The little actress lady girl really shines in White Lotus, even though she's a woman. And it's International Women's Day, so we'll give her a shout out.
Yeah, that's an international woman. We're talking about conservatives talking about boobs on International Women's Day, so that's not ideal. But I am sort of unable to look away from conservative social commentary in this way, because it's so on its face hilarious, but the undercurrent is really fucked up. So, I don't know. And how much, aesthetics means to them, to conservatives, and particularly to really far-right people, and, when it's gone wrong, how consequential that is, and how we need to fix it in some authoritarian manner. There's a lot there with some fucking lunatic tweeting about how cartoons aren't sexy anymore. I mean, this is nothing. And yet... It's a lot.
Well, I guess it always seems like people outside of ideologies that, you know, inside is like these trivial concerns or something. Right-wingers probably think that about what left-wing people talk about. And in some cases, probably each side has a grain of truth. But yes, this is a particularly bewildering form for the discourse to take. And I think it's beyond parody, to be honest, to making this actress a... culture war pivot point. I don't know what reality they inhabit where they're... I really don't. I'm kind of speechless, and I don't know if I have anything smart to say about the topic.
I know. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but there is also an article in The Spectator, which is...
By your fave, your bestie?
Bridget Fatassi, who... I used to communicate a little bit on Twitter because we both wrote for Playboy, which makes her article all the more funny. It begins, "Yay, boobs are back." And Saturday Night Live, blah, blah, blah. For anyone under the age of 25, they've likely never seen it in their lifetime, as the giggling blonde with an amazing rack has been stamped out of existence. Paywalled. It's fucking paywalled. So whatever political insights about the boobs there are, we're not going to know. We'll never know. But a woman who used to write for Playboy, as did I, thinks that hot blondes with boobs are not just a dying breed, but were extinct.
They were extinct for many years. I mean, I see the light now, and I was really living in darkness, I think, for many years. Yeah, I don't know what else to say beyond that.
There's just something, it's not all about me, man, but the way to feel really cool and edgy on the internet is to have, like, a nose piercing or unnatural hair colors and have a picture and then fucking wait for a conservative to be like, your fucking nose ring means you hate your father and stuff, you know? And, like, there's just, like, a whole thing that is incessant about, you know, blue-haired SJWs, whatever we're calling them now, nose piercings, you know, things like that. And as much as I'd like to be the edgiest person in all the land, it's fucking outfits, man. And guess how, you know, blondes... I'm checking her, see if she has any roots, which I don't see, but... Odds are a blonde is not a real blonde, but the Lord could have blessed them with blonde hair, and that's what matters. But come the transhumanist revolution, I'm going to fucking grow some blue hair directly out of my scalp.
I'm so enjoying your commentary on this. It's, it might be one of the most parody-like viewpoints, I would say, when conservatives get really up in arms over minor deviations from, like, very narrow traditional beauty standards. And like you said, this all takes on an enormous role in, like, the far right and aesthetics and beauty ideals. And, like, it's just weird, man. It's, like, a perfect illustration of, like, the underlying logic or lack thereof of the entire conservative worldview. You know, that is for the same thing for its own sake, for what has been done for its own sake, and any sort of minor change or deviation or act of autonomy on the part of people living today or tomorrow is like a spit in the faces of established wisdoms. It's just like, man, like, just let people have blue hair. It's totally deranged, I think.
And this became more of a thing when, like, non-natural hair colors became more acceptable in more sort of work circles than they had been, like, the last 5 to 10 years. Yeah. And it makes you feel less edgy, but it's also great, because you don't have to fucking re-dye your hair if you need to work in an office, necessarily.
Yeah.
It became really, you know, kind of trendy, and yet they still, it was the SJW. And a lot of it comes down to, this does not turn me on as a man, and therefore it is bad, it is insidious, it is probably some sort of top-down plot to make women less hot.
Right.
And we have to do something, and college is probably to blame.
That's a good summation of that. It's true, you're connecting it specifically, like, you know, patriarchal standards of, like the male gaze, I guess, is what you're saying. Like, yeah, that's true. But although then it's ironic, as you were saying, with the actual article in question being written by a woman, as you pointed out before.
I almost think, I mean, a man could write that. But if a man wrote that, I don't know if fucking Return of Kings still exists, which was a nightmare website from the earlier 2010s. Like, it was so patriarchy, like, fucking Roosh V, whatever his name was.
Oh.
Great.
Yeah.
I used to be really tolerant on Facebook. I'm no longer on Facebook. But I once, you know, I was friends with many a libertarian I didn't actually know in real life. I once defriended someone solely for posting a single link to Return of Kings, because there's literally no...
Seems reasonable.
There's no... So, yeah, like, a woman can be like, haha, breasts are back, finally. But, I don't know, there's, like, the youth today like to name all sorts of micro subcultures and be like Barbie core, bimbo core, whatever, and you can sound less ridiculous when you do that, even though I'm not partial to it. But I don't know, I don't understand this article, and I never will, because it's paywalled.
Well,
just like boobs used to be paywalled, and now they're free. I guess.
No, it's a mystery. This recent hysteria, I guess, to use a phrase, over this issue by conservatives. I
mean,
go ahead.
I was like, it's like there's, it just comes down to, you know, and this is not the top tier issue of our time, but like this sense that women are obligated to look hot,
yeah,
by my standards,
yeah,
by at worst blatantly like Nazi propaganda poster,
yeah,
milkmaid standards, yeah, but at least, you know, anything you wear, it has to be like the makeup has to only enhance your features. So, like, a man can't tell you're wearing it, except just a little bit, maybe. Everything has to be about enhancing how hot you are. But not too much, because that would also be suspicious if you're wearing too much makeup. And, like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, that's another underlying paradox with this love that conservatives have in the last, not even a week, over for Sydney Sweeney wearing low-cut dress on SNL. Because, you know... depending on the time of the day, conservatives will lambast that, and, you know, for sexualizing people, and almost like promoting like casual sex or lust or looking at other women that you're not married to, or all these things, and it just all of that goes out the window immediately. Why? I don't know, because they want to push this mutually exclusive narrative that now this is a conservative triumph. It's like, what?
I think some really religious people maybe are at least consistent on this point. Like, oh no, lustful thoughts are being provoked. Maybe, is it because this was like a national, like we were talking about monoculture, like Saturday Night Live. Like that's network TV for you. Is that why boobs are back on network TV?
That's funny. I don't know. I mean, no one really watches network TV. I mean, I guarantee the vast majority of people talking about this didn't watch SNL or didn't even watch the skits or whatever. They just saw the images.
The internet is so annoying.
Well, what do you think we're participating in right now, Lucy?
Do you think the internet was its peak in terms of both the discourse and the technology? I'm thinking like 2014.
I was gonna say the exact same thing, but maybe this is like, you know, we're being, you know, boomers, like back in our day the internet was better, but yeah, my thought is like before Trump, like, man, during Obama, I who would have thought that it could get worse and more polarizing? But yeah, compared to now, 2014, 2013, something like that, you had most of the internet infrastructure that exists now that I give a shit about. And
I mean, we were already getting too corporate and social media and tidy walled garden-y, you know?
Yes.
But, I mean, we can't even have social media that has, like, a chronological order anymore. You know, some very aggressive algorithms. Search engines actually getting worse.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, how helpful they are. And AI is going to make that worse.
Yes.
For years.
Yeah, lots of
I think someday...
Lots of noise. Yeah.
I'm not like a pessimist. I don't think it's going to all like collapse and like everything will suck forever. But AI is going to make the internet even worse for at least several years, is my brand.
I think maybe worse, but maybe better on margins. I really don't know. Especially on the back end of stuff, I'm sure it'll be really useful for stuff that maybe you don't see when you're just like using the internet like a normal, like everyday person. But yeah, I agree. Tons of noise. I mean, they're already... you know, we've already been in that phase for a while, though. Google has been near unusable, you know, depending on if you, like, want to find out how to do something or find a recipe or find thoughts on something. You're basically inundated with paid-for advertisements that are disguised as just, like, not advertisements. That's why with everything on Google, you have to add Reddit to your search. And then you get actual... This is what I've done for years. This is what... Yeah. So you get Reddit posts that are anywhere from 6 months to 10 years old, and you get actual human beings... like commenting on the topic, not paid to, you know, push some particular product on you.
To be fair, Google also suggests you add Reddit because they've given up too, I guess. At least what I
I'm not surprised. It really is unbelievable.
Recipes I find okay, but I wasn't looking up recipes like 10 years ago, so I don't know if that's...
But it's like, you just don't find actual, or restaurants or anything. It's all, obviously, this was just some travel website that the restaurants pay for advertising on. Like, there's no real person's opinion behind it.
Also have famously terrible websites where it's like, watch this flash animation about our theory of food. And it's like, what? Where's the menu and the hours?
That's like a really good stand-up bit to me. I don't know. That really got to me. Very true. Very ring is very true to my experience. But no, yeah, just add Reddit to it. If you weren't aware of this amazing life-altering advice, your use of Google and the internet and finding actual human beings with actual opinions and useful advice, just do that.
Well, I mean, maybe it's reassuring that Reddit is, I mean, sometimes it's not humans, but we're talking about trusting actual humans posting stuff a lot of the time, as opposed to the infrastructure of the internet. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how much more, I mean, Reddit always has something going on, and it's not perfect, obviously, far, far, far from perfect, but I just find that's such a useful way to counter what you're talking about, where search engines are just filled with noise now, and they're increasing, and they're going to be more and more, and social media more and more noise, too, with the bots and with AI, so that social media hopefully will figure out a way to curate those things out of it. Twitter has, like, gone the reverse direction in the last few years, so that's good.
You gotta come over to Blue Sky, man. It's like little baby Twitter, but it's actually pretty
active. Little baby Twitter.
It has no DMs, but come on over. We should all go to Blue Sky because Twitter is so bad now. It's
I feel like every day I wake up, I look at the sun.
Don't look directly at the
sun. I look directly into the sun until my pupils burn off.
Cool.
And I think I'm going to join a non-Twitter social media today. And then I don't.
I tried to get you when it was invite only.
I understand. I've been given invites, yes. But fucking, guys, this social media is this imperialist colonizing force. And I'm the redundancy of it all. Like, until Twitter literally, like, I still know tons of people on there. Yes, it's way worse than it was. Because the bots and, my lord, the anti-Semitism and other racisms. But but nevertheless, I really am so not into, like, adding another... I don't use fucking Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok or anything. I just have, Twitter and Facebook because I have my friends on there.
I miss Instagram, but I don't want Mark Zuckerberg all up in my business.
There's nothing you can do about that. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. He's behind you.
Fuck.
There he is, that red guy.
He's a chiropractor.
What?
My brother used to be the chiropractor for Mark Zuckerberg, so...
Your brother? The one we referenced earlier?
No, a different one.
Fuck, how many brothers do you have?
One and a half, technically speaking.
Oh, okay. Okay, but isn't chiropractic bullshit? Not to call out your half-brother on our widely watched show, but...
A lot of things are bullshit.
A lot of things are bullshit! Are you Trump? What kind of response is that?
someone who has way too many loved ones who believe way too many health things that are...
Admittedly, I think maybe it can alleviate pain, but there's a lot of pseudoscience, and my understanding of chiropractic, people need to be safe as fuck if they're trying to pursue that to alleviate back pain or other pain.
Yeah. The thing about chiropractors is they almost none of them can stay in their own lane, assuming that their lane is real, you know?
Right.
You know them, and in the lobby there's a poster about not vaccinating, and they think they tell you they can fix anything by... doing this. And
yeah, like new age.
So if you ever meet a chiropractor who thinks all chiropractors are trash, that's probably a good chiropractor. But I've also heard shit about people getting like a brain aneurysm from a neck adjustment. So
not your average chiropractor.
I've gone to chiropractors.
Oh yeah? Well, how did you feel? Did you live? Well, did you survive to tell the tale?
I did. One of them, who did in fact literally have an anti-vax poster in the room, which is great.
Were you swayed? Were you swayed?
Oh, yeah. I removed all the vaccinations from the doctor.
You sucked him out.
He got me to stand up more straight.
Ew, why would you do that?
The problem was that my left leg is all fucked up, so if I stand up straight, it actually really hurts. So I was like, wow, my posture is great.
There's a reason you weren't standing up straight. What happened?
I almost feel like you did something, right? But I've actually been wondering, because I come from a land of a lot of bullshit stuff. Like, why would homeopathy ever work?
Agreed.
It's like the logic of vaccines for, like, it's like a dumb version of the logic of vaccines. Hair of the dog will fix it, you know? Like, a little bit of the bad thing will fix the thing. Which is what vaccines, initially, that's the whole thing.
That's a good point. You've swayed me. You've swayed me. You've swayed me completely. If that's what you were intending.
Also, apparently in America, an osteopath is like an MD with sort of an MD, but also a bunch of crap, like chiropractor-esque nonsense foundations. So like an osteopath in Europe is nothing. That's just like a total quack. An osteopath in America is like a doctor that learned a bunch of dumb shit along with some real shit. So, I don't know. There's some weird stuff. Or like, Europe finally stopped, like insurance and stuff stopped sending people to like homeopaths recently. Like, Europe has finally
just recently not
anything. Dude, King Charles went to one.
That's sure. But the elites always are into the weird. You know, that's interesting that only recently they stopped with the insurance.
Yeah, there's like a shift, apparently. They used to say, go to this.
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, that's like a weirdly positive development in that realm for the last 5 years, 4 years. Because I feel like that stuff is only, maybe it's just anecdotal or distorted by the kind of people who are allowed on the internet. But it feels like those things have strengthened in terms of supporters, you know, opposed to Western medicine or whatever they want to call their views.
The most, as generous as I'm going to be, the more you crack down on what is usually bad health information, you're going to get even more people who are like, they don't want you to know the truth, you know, that's how human beings react. Like, that's what we do. So, both practically and arguably on principle, like, cracking down on the information is a mistake. It backfires.
Oh, well, no, yeah, but it depends on what you mean by cracking down. I mean, like anything else, it can, you know, instigate a sort of backlash and strengthen the thing, you know, far beyond what it would have been in the absence of cracking down. I agree. But it depends.
But God knows, 5 years ago, the SJW Twitter was demonstrably better. ideally, the internet would be full of, you know, varying degrees of moderation on various places, you know? Like, that would be fine. That's the internet I can...
True. That's true.
Storm front, wherever the fuck is.
Yeah. I wonder how long that'll last with a place like Twitter. I guess it seems like everyone's maybe kind of trying to become more numb to it. I know I am.
In terms of just horrible shit lurking?
Just like, in the replies or sometimes the promoted tweets as well. It's really disappointing to see. But in a weird way, maybe the silver lining, I've also thought because, it's the debate we've been having forever, but... this stuff isn't necessarily becoming more popular because of what I'm seeing. Maybe that's becoming more visible, what people were already believing in. But then, you get more traction, more visibility for those things, and maybe they get more supporters thanks to the increased visibility. But then maybe it makes their insanity and hatred more apparent to more people. I can see kind of arguments going each direction.
I don't know. I don't feel comfortable deciding how much worse certain things have gotten or not. But certainly rhetoric, you know, like when Tucker Carlson's come up with people, I'm like, I don't know if he's a white nationalist. Probably not. Has he laundered white nationalist conspiracy theories to a mainstream audience? He sure has.
Yeah.
So there are certain things like Great Replacement shit. Man, is that like a normal thing? Yeah, that's
more of a thing. Right. Yeah.
Which is pretty twisted.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying I would still overall prefer to go back to the old Twitter regime, because I would just rather, it's a better psychic experience, I think, for me and everyone else to not log on and see multiple replies that are calling you a Jew or whatever. Like that really, I didn't, you know, use Twitter for a long time and huge uptick with the new rules. Obviously, I would prefer to not have to deal with that, regardless of the pros and cons I just weighed out. But yeah, but maybe that's a good, maybe the your point about Great Replacement Theory become more popular is a reason to talk about immigration, which we kind of thought about discussing because it's just been such a hot topic right now. And it shouldn't be. I mean, that's my viewpoint anyway, right? Obviously, and I know you agree. There isn't a border crisis. It's not, the border crisis is the border. And unfortunately now, it looks like this election is going to be dominated in part by this manufactured nonsense.
It feels like that is the easiest cudgel to wield successfully to freak people out for some reason. You know, you want to stir up other prejudices, like you can get somewhere, sure, but like something about immigration just really works. And
yeah,
people will even forget about it, you know, because it's not really affecting their daily life. But then
no,
we better stir it up some more. Oh, look at the caravan over there. Shit.
That's yeah.
A real problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's like foreign policy in that way where, you know, it really doesn't have much, like you said, this direct impact on most Americans' everyday life. But then, man, is that a useful fear-mongering concept of some invading force, some threat outside of the country that is unlike you. So give the government all the power.
An invading force. I mean, that's what they do. They try to shift immigration into a foreign policy, military-esque problem by talking about it like...
It's all the same thing for them. It's all the same thing. And that's why they want to just put the military on the border and basically just increasingly militarize the border and want to use the military to enforce border laws.
Which is insane on so many different levels.
Phew.
And the shiny new Libertarian Party takeover people tend to be squarely on the side of, well, they're not libertarians and they're not anarchists, whatever they're calling themselves, because closed border doesn't go with either of those philosophies. And even if you're speaking purely selfishly about these theoretical people who are probably white, odds are, good chance they're men, odds are, border militarization can't actually affect you. There is a Supreme Court precedent from the 70s where the Border Patrol has more fucking sway over you than you'd think if you live within 100 miles of a border, which turns out to be two-thirds of America. For a hot minute on YouTube, there was like a really delightfully terse like redneck white guy who'd go to internal immigration checkpoints and not obey the law and stuff. I miss those presumably right-wing white guys, because they're at least doing something there. The Fourth Amendment gets destroyed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's federal law enforcement, which conservatives suddenly pretend to hate, because they suddenly pretend to hate the FBI since the FBI got, you know, up in Trump's business.
The FBI's woke.
That is the problem with the FBI.
The FBI's woke.
That's true. But, like, it can affect you.
Oh,
like,
sure, yeah.
They have white Hispanics. They have white immigrants. They have internal immigration checkpoints. The Fourth Amendment has enough health problems without the border. And when you go to the border, it's like, it's... There's... And the more drones to surveil... Like,
yeah.
It's so obvious that it should translate in some way to a, if nothing else, a selfish fear on their part of a militarized border. And it never does. Never does. It drives me insane.
Yeah, that the what you're saying about how many people in America live within that border zone is like you should look up the listeners should look up the like the infographic on, that shows that I've seen. That's kind of mind blowing. I remember seeing that years ago. Like, wow, you know, as if there you needed more reason to think these were draconian and authoritarian measures. Like, yeah, they can and do include many Americans in the domain of their authority. And it's just remarkable that they don't seem to care or talk about that. The border is just this thing that's over there. You know, and of course, you know, the vast majority of Americans, when they're not consciously thinking about and animated by, you know, xenophobic prejudice and dividing the world into people with government papers and people without them, as if that was morally relevant. When people aren't thinking of those things, you know, they're cooperating and interacting with and associating with immigrants all the time in their everyday lives for all sorts of things and enriching their lives. And so those are the unseen costs too, then, when you just don't have those people around to associate with or trade with or whatever, because they've been locked in some detainment center or deported or just killed trying to get across the border or something. Yeah, it's and with libertarians, I mean, there's no a few issues that are more obvious from the libertarian perspective, and it's one of the most depressing things to me that so much of the libertarian community is twisted themselves into knots to defend such patently unlibertarian views at such a critical time is beyond reprehensible. And it seems like a giant exercise in self-delusion to me. Every single libertarian argument implies pro-immigration and open borders.
There's a guy on Twitter. What was it? Ace Anarchist?
I know Ace. Seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought he was he might have been a little ANCAP-y
initially. Pretty much an ANCAP.
I think he might be market anarchist now.
My read on Ace is he's an ANCAP who's very sympathetic and friendly with the more market anarchist stuff, and he spends a lot of his time trying to do what I'm saying and correct people's self-delusion, if they are operating in good faith, of people with similar views that have not bad views on borders, which he doesn't. He has great views on that.
I thought he used market anarchist at some point. Maybe not, you know, if God knows.
Maybe.
And he's fucking given them a much better name. But he hit upon, you know, people who say, you know, we have a welfare state, so until we have to get rid of that first, and then we'll open the borders. And his refutation is, okay, you can't have any children until we get rid of the welfare state.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as soon as you have, like, that's, my tax burden is increased, like, the potential, they could go on welfare, like, my God, like, it's, of course I have a direct say in how many children you get to have.
Yeah.
And people don't think that's valid. I think that's perfect.
You know, It lays bare the obvious nonsense of viewing a new person crossing the line into entering the country or just popping to existence in the country, either of those, as aggressing against other people because of government payments or usage of government services. No, everyone in the country uses those things.
I mean, if we can't move and we can't, you know, have children, actually children is more fraud, but that's a different matter, then we kind of can't do anything without everyone else's say so.
Yeah, you know? Oh,
they
sure
don't actually believe in that as much as
they're, no, it's only this issue because they're animated by what they call the regime and its fear mongering and paranoia, and they don't, and they proclaim that they're free thinkers when they see the nonsense of the regime fear mongering about, say, war or overseas terror or terrorism or those sorts of things, especially during the Bush era, and fear mongering about those things to strengthen the state and suppress civil rights. I feel like the same group sees through it so easily when that's the issue. But this is the same logic of look over there, or they did, but look, and this is the same logic of look over there. You know, these people are a threat to you, crime, terrorism, etc. You know, and so we need to strengthen the state, and in almost the exact same ways, in terms of as a giant militarized security apparatus to solve this problem, and so give us that power, and they're okay with it. There,
magically request a completely quarantined militarized law enforcement apparatus, but it's just for immigrants.
You mean it's just for immigrants? You mean it's not going to apply to me as a American person? Oh.
And they'll never work with, like...
I didn't think of that.
Or the NSA and use, what was it, parallel construction in case they need... Oh, we just found a big immigration terrorism drug ring, so let's all, you know, chat. Federal law enforcement actually chats all the time, except when it, like, the Oklahoma City bombing or 9/11 is about to happen, and then they don't make a phone call.
I didn't realize it was just for immigrants, though. You've kind of swayed me on the issue. That's a really great point, that it would only apply to that group of people that I, you know, over there. And I guess, sure, all my ancestors are immigrants, but they're from Europe. That's very different. Very different issue.
Way that I couldn't possibly elaborate on.
Argument, line of thought I like is, you know, these discussions, you know, the baby one, yes, that's illustrative. There's another one, though, that I know Chris Freeman likes to repeat, and Chris is kind of more neoliberally, I guess, so I agree with him sometimes, but disagree with others. And, but he's, on this, he's great, and his, you know, the logic of, well, we have to get rid of this other intervention, the welfare state, to have freedom in this area, immigration. And there's an interesting parallel with, you know, say, releasing, you know, nonviolent drug offenders from prison. It's like, surely many of them are going to rely on welfare, at least at first. Many of them are going to use government services. Many of them are going to, you know, perhaps be at risk of criminal activity. All the same sorts of arguments apply to just letting nonviolent drug offenders out of prison. That none of these people would ever, hopefully, in their right mind, support. It's this weird moderating, supposedly but not really pragmatic posturing that, oh, well, it's just we can't have open borders now. We'll have it later when we get rid of these other things. That applies to many, many, many things. And it starts one by one to rule out also every libertarian reform that we can think of now in the short term. And it weirdly mirrors, too, and maybe there's some deranged ancestral parallel here, but with a lot of these terrible anti-immigration libertarian in quotes arguments coming from Hoppe, who himself was a Marxist, it's an interesting parallel because it's the same logic that I think a lot of socialists and Marxists fall into, with, you know, we need authoritarianism now, but freedom later. You know, we can't have freedom now. Yeah. We can't have it right now. There's these other things, these other concerns, right? We need to have the government now. But obviously, I'm on your side. Obviously, I agree with you. Obviously, in the long run, it'll be fine. We'll have freedom after this date here, the revolution or whatever. And it's just really annoying to see that argument pop up in different circles.
It's a bit naive somehow. And
a little bit, maybe.
Well, maybe we're naive if we even give them this much benefit of the doubt to think that it's anything beyond a knee-jerk, bigoted sort of cringing. But
yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it is that.
There's a programming aspect where America, other thing. Well, we're more important because then they're over there. I mean, there's just some basic shit that we have. Everybody has shoved into their brains that has any moral foundation whatsoever. But libertarians and anarchists, absolutely, if they don't know, but
that's what I don't understand. It's so obvious. And, you know, in those cases where, you know, non-libertarians, non-anarchists, I can a little more see why it coheres with the rest of your views and your worldview to oppose immigration. But with libertarians, I feel like it's more infuriating to talk to someone who feels like they're twisting themselves into knots to defend a view and spit out a view that doesn't follow.
Opening the border is somehow more statist because I forget.
It would be the state doing it, so it's obviously more statist.
Well, I mean, that does track with the prison thing. Letting people out of prison, well, the state is doing so.
How dare the state do anything? How dare the state repeal laws and fire agents? How dare the state decrease its size?
Of course, next time maybe we'll talk about fucking Heritage Foundation and their whole little plot to...
Or not.
Well, to cut government, supposedly. And by that I mean just fucking take over all the institutions that we would like to get rid of. But
we're going
to
cut government, grow government.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm so, like, I feel like I've only just occurred to me that this is what happens, and people frequently sell it in a way that would have sounded good to me if I wasn't paying attention. You know, like, literal, let's not go full Nazi Germany, let me not say that. But...
Hold on, Lucy. Slow down.
You know, when Hitler showed up, oh, I've got rid of fucking Hindenburg, this old... You know, we gotta change things up. We gotta get some new, like, fresh guys in.
No,
you know,
like... no, Lucy went full Nazi. No.
I mean, it's like when it finally occurred to me that there were, you know, anti-state, far-right people.
Yeah.
And there's more of them than just, like, Randy Weaver sitting in his house hiding from society. Like, there is a contingent that styles itself as anti-state.
Yeah.
In a way that's really bad.
Yeah, well, it's just anti-American federal government. That's all it is. So many libertarians and anarchists who also, and for right reasons, oppose the American federal government, then ally with and fall for the arguments of people who oppose the American federal government, but don't really oppose plenty of other governments, especially their imagined hypothetical governments that they want to bring about.
I'm trying to remember, what did I see... I don't know when it was from the last year, the Libertarian Party national account retweeting someone who wrote, and I quote, because it's seared into my brain, states' rights are human rights.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised that sort of, yeah, I mean, I don't even, what are you supposed to say to that sort of thinking?
That's so fundamentally wrong that I can't. And so fundamentally unlibertarian that makes my brain leak out my ears.
No, yeah, it's just it's many libertarians. It feels polarized into, especially by certain historical conflicts political issues. Yeah, no, it's just, you know, into thinking that, you know, this is decentralization, and not. Not thinking through how actual human rights would fare under this apparent decentralized regime.
And again, if we're talking about America, yes, America is really big, perhaps too big. States are also, as in American states, are also quite large, some of which are larger than many countries.
Right, right.
You know, when you start getting down to cities, we can talk a little more, but...
No, it's just, I don't know why...
Your family can oppress you. It happens all the time. And it's fine, because they like that.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. And maybe, just to segue, because we're talking about the far right, because I wanted to discuss, you know, there's reasons for optimism. I know last time we discussed that poll about, a startlingly high number of people, especially young people, entertaining or directly endorsing Holocaust denial, and then
Gen Z and younger, I think. Like,
and then there was just a recent another poll that seemed to totally not replicate that, and even put a lot of it in dispute, and had much much lower numbers on Holocaust denial views, and so maybe cause for optimism. I mean, polling's weird, I guess. I mean, we talked about this last time, and I feel like my reaction was like, man, that seems higher than I would think, but either way, it seems maybe like an issue, even if that's too high. And then my reaction, I feel like now, is like, maybe that's lower than you'd think, especially because people want to keep that view very concealed and behind closed doors. Right. But even if it's lower slightly, I mean, either way, you could always do better, I feel like, on that topic, and sort of, I feel like people really underrate how common it is. And I'm almost pushing against being too optimistic based on this recent poll, but yeah, I guess I'm just many minds on it.
I mean, the previous poll appeared to be like going on a third of Gen Z, and then suddenly this new thing is like single digit, right?
It was huge. It was huge. So what do you, I don't know how to react to that, like, epistemically. Like, polls are weird. A lot of room for error.
We probably put too much credence in all polls, because...
That's true.
I mean, my whole thing was that you can get a third of people to answer the worst possible thing in any poll.
Yeah, the wording with that last one was weird.
Or if you're asking them about things like conspiracy theories, I think this is something stuff I read about, you know, from Jesse Walker, who we like to shout out. You know, if you're asking people about, like, do you believe in lizard people and stuff? Like, I don't know, like, are you getting sincere?
Exactly. Like, on some level, they don't take it seriously, so why? It could be a joke answer. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I can see the temptation if you're talking not Holocaust things, because that's bullshit, but something very, yeah. It seems very silly, very independent, even up to
harmless
JFK, even 9/11 conspiracy theories where you're like, I don't know. And so you answer in the
well, I think that's, you know, push, you know, the conspiracy mind is a weird place. I think some of your examples you acknowledge are pushing it, but clearly there are, and obviously lizard people is one of those that's only really, like, apparently benign, because I've interacted with many people that are like, oh, what's a fun conspiracy theory? Oh, there's lizard people. And it's like, well, I have some bad news for you on who they think the lizard people are, who they think most people are actually disguised as lizards. Like, I have some bad news for you. So there's really, I don't think there's a benign conspiracy, because they're all, there's no such thing as a benign. It's just degrees. Like, and as soon as you are inculcated into conspiratorial thinking, whether it's lizards or what, then it is a direct line slowly to, oh, okay, well, there's a cover-up of something benign. Okay, but who did the cover-up? Who would have that power? Okay, who? Right. What else are they covering up? Like, it's this
group that I secretly distrust, or the group that lots of other people distrust.
And it's not always, I think sometimes the bigotry and, you know, anti-Semitism is huge with conspiracies. And in some ways is the ultimate one. I think sometimes it comes out at the end or towards the end of the process rather than the beginning. I obviously there are some people who begin anti-Semitic and then they start looking at history and they're like, oh, well, I'm anti-Semitic. Clearly the Holocaust must have been faked. But I think some people also, and I feel like I know this firsthand, unfortunately, they don't start with anti-Semitism. They start with general distrust of the world and of institutions. And then they go and go and go, and they find more and more cover-ups and more, whatever, things to doubt. And then they get to something like the Holocaust, and they're like, well, all right, well, that was a cover-up or close to it. Well, why would they cover that up? Why are all these apparent victims lying? And it's like, so you can only end up with anti-Semitism after that, even if you didn't start there. And if you only think of it for reasons of mere skepticism, you still have to end up there as a conclusion, unfortunately.
You need more than skepticism. I mean, you say distrusting institutions, and I'm sure you and I advocate for distrusting all sorts of institutions.
Oh, sure, yeah. But it's degrees, and it's which, and it's like, are you distrusting in general, or are you just distrusting of the things you don't like, and you put insanely high trust in these, like, weird guys you're listening to on the internet for some reason. Like, that's the thing. It's like these people, they put massive amounts of trust in the Alex Jones and in the David Icke's that they've supposedly done the research. They write all these books. They lambast you with sources and information and facts and connections, and quote unquote. And so it's really just trust of a different sort. And it's the depressing way in which contrarianism becomes defining yourself by the other, by everyone else, just like you were before, but in the opposite direction.
Yeah. I mean, I've recently realized, or I tried to use to no avail, but like people who don't trust health institutions, and there's always, you know, there's problems, there's...
Sure.
I think that fish oil and turmeric and bromelain makes my horrible joints feel better. I truly do believe that, and the FDA hasn't yet agreed with me. But generally speaking, my God, are there a lot of quacks? My God, is the barrier to entry to being a quack much lower than being a medical doctor?
That's true.
But also, many a person who doesn't trust the medical industry trusts their mechanic. You know,
that's funny.
They will go on the highway at 70 miles per hour, quite easily.
There you go.
And they know nothing about cars. Yeah. The mechanic could have done anything to their car.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Almost everybody trusts certain institutions or experts.
Sure.
And they put their lives in their hands. And yet, somehow, medicine is uniquely bad. Yeah, okay, it's the body. The body seems more intimate. But
No, I mean, you make a great point. I mean, the role of trust is so underrated in just our own personal knowledge and view of the world down to its very foundations, and then all the scaffolds that we build on top of that. I mean, just take something very basic to me is the shape of the Earth. Is I have never seen with my two eyes that the Earth is round. Maybe on a when I went to the Empire State Building, I could see a curvature, obviously, but even then, that could be anything. That's not the Earth looks like what it's depicted as to me in scientific textbooks and all those things. And I'll never know with my own two eyes from looking at it from the moon or from space that the Earth looks like I'm being told it looks like. There's the role of trust, especially in modern complex society and the division of labor and consequent division of knowledge. Like that's a great example. The mechanic and putting your life in the hands of your mechanic is a great analogous example to what we're talking about.
I think, Flat Earth is also a great example of something that we also probably recently would have thought was almost a benign conspiracy theory.
Sure.
I recently read a book, Kelly Wheel, book called Off the Edge, which was a short history of the concept of flat eartherism.
Mm.
And a lot of it has foundations even in like 19th century of like sort of trolly ironic like groups, like, isn't it silly that people believe this? And a lot of that turning into sort of a sincere thing. Since then, like now and back in the day, it's been like a bizarre hybrid of people who sincerely believe it, people who are trolling and somehow perpetuate it, and then it's particularly strange. But it's obviously more common than we would like. And
yeah.
I confess, reading about it, I don't understand the mindset. Like, I'm not saying I will never believe anything, you know, I'll never be fooled by anything, but people who are like, yeah, I looked up one YouTube video, and then I watched five YouTube videos, and, and then I was a flat earther.
Yeah.
I've discussed with my friend about how we've gone in the opposite direction thanks to the internet. We're very like, how do I know this is true in a way that is the opposite of how do I know this is true? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think I don't know if it's gotten better or worse. I sometimes think that, again, a lot of conspiracies are just more visible now. I mean, you know, on the topic of Jesse Walker, who you mentioned, I mean, he has that great book on how conspiracies have been really commonplace throughout American history all the way to the founding. You know, and there's something like, you know, in the human mind, the quirk of the human mind that looks for intention, looks for purpose and patterns.
That's not so terrible.
No.
I do not really specifically believe in many conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I do feel like there are certain events where there's more that could have happened that we don't know about. A lot of credible people think there were more people involved in the Oklahoma City bombing than were identified ever.
Sure.
The Bin Laden killing raid, you know, we never saw a photo. I don't think he's like in a cell under the Pentagon right now, but did different shit happen? Were there some lies? Was some stuff not released?
Well, sure. No, I mean, I think it's important to resist that, you know, it's not the opposition to conspiracy theories isn't a set of views on certain historical matters necessarily. It's an opposition to a certain mindset and a certain way of thinking about historical matters. Plenty of things turned out to be what we would call a conspiracy theory. With the Gulf of Tonkin is probably a great example of that. With
no one would believe in MK Ultra, which we also got rid of most of.
Yeah. There's plenty, and they have degrees of salience and maybe believability and plausibility. The point is just I don't like thinking of it as conspiracy theories come true. I just like thinking of it as obviously we're always revising and reconsidering in light of new evidence certain historical matters. Conspiracy theories is a way of thinking about that stuff that's erroneous and prone to, again, putting trust in obvious quacks that don't deserve it and going for lines of reasoning that don't make any sense and that take absence of evidence as evidence, for instance, things like that.
I mean, if you have no trust in consensus, especially, say, medical consensus, then that's a real problem. Because the thing with, I'm just going to go full vaccine here, with, like, the COVID vaccine, the sheer number of people who took it and were willing to take it, and people don't risk their own bodies and their own selves. Like, there are horror stories about, like, the 80s when they sent tainted blood to Africa. I don't know if it was, like, to help hemophiliacs, except, oops, it had AIDS.
Right.
Like, there's always horrible shit you can learn about. But yeah. A sort of consensus of, like, this will probably help everyone, I find pretty convincing. But I think, honestly, the bigger it is in that way for some people, the more they're sure that it's, like, a depopulation.
And that's where they have to start denying your own reality, your own experiences, the people you know, the people you love and trust all of a sudden have to be agents of the system. The Matrix,
or they're all about to drop dead except for you.
Yeah. I mean, the Matrix is a beautiful movie and story, but it's one of the most dangerous ones. And if you start telling yourself you're Neo and you can take in any direction you want and you can make anything the Matrix, and you know,
the Matrix and the X-Files were both bad for human society.
I hate to think that they're net bads, but like all increases in autonomy and the democratization, of reason and critical thinking that we sort of developed over the last 2,000, especially the last 300 years, it's got pros and cons, and it lets a lot of people believe a lot of weird and wacky things. But the process hopefully lets us overcome that and believe better, more true things as well.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good.
The one thing I do think almost people still don't mention as often the idea of racism as a conspiracy theory. Like, the anti-Semitism part, like, that's the most obvious useful example. But I think in general, a lot of prejudices, it's like a conspiracy theory. And
sure,
both, you know, like the JFK assassination or some racism, I've got it. Like, I figured it out, the key, and now I get how everything works and how everything's set up. And, you know, from like anti-black racism to 9/11, like, you can be like, oh, I get it now. They were lying to me, but now it's all clear. And I think people have a desire to have that revelation, but they also have what to me is totally antithetical to my mindset, a desire that there'll be a final boss, or maybe like a couple of
them. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then if you defeat them, everything's going to be magical.
Oh, sure.
Because those bosses are, you know, they're puppeteering everything and they're in charge and stuff. And that's not how it works.
Yeah.
But I think people like to think that it does, because then if you get them, you can, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Paradise on Earth follows, I guess.
I think it's, you know, to use the religious phrase, it's an eschatology of another kind. The end of history is coming, and we're going to expose them for the lies, and we're going to inaugurate this new society of truth or something, and I'm leading the way commenting on the internet. And, you know, I mean, this is a great quote. I can't remember who said it. And it references socialism, but you can put in any, your liberatory theory of choice, but anti-Semitism is the socialism of fools. Conspiracy racism, it's the liberation of fools. It's wanting to replace one people with power with another people with power. And it's thinking that power is just this thing that, well, has been around for now for a while, but now we're going to eradicate it completely, like, once and for all, and we don't have to worry about it again as well. And it's an incredibly, obviously, anyone who's faced any sort of despair or any sort of hopelessness about the state of the world can see why that has such great appeal and power over people's minds. No pun intended, but obviously, it is a fool's errand. It really is.
I guess one last thing that I forgot to mention a while back was when you were talking about Holocaust denial in reference to distrust of institutions. And I was thinking, what a horrible idea that, you know, what actually occurred in the Holocaust, like the historical fact of it, is an institution, you know, solely because various institutions, mainstream ones, you know, acknowledge it sometimes, or they're like, ergo, what? It's an institutional in Europe, which, you know, I like America's insane free speech.
Yeah, me too.
I get why Europe has laws.
Yeah.
Because the Holocaust happened there. Like, yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite type of
speech
law means, but I get it. But therefore, it must be a lie because it's, you can get in legal trouble for denying.
Oh, of course. Holocaust. Of course. So much erroneous thinking that is masquerading as free thinking, right?
But again, with the Holocaust, like, it's this, like, to be nicer to these people and assume it's not just prejudice. You know, if institutions are repeating this fact, there must be something suspect. But it's not an institution that tells us the Holocaust happened. It was an institutional industrialized killing. But it's millions of people who both died and saw it. You know, it's opposite of an institution. It's millions and millions of individuals who can vouch for the reality of it.
Yeah. So, that gets to a lot of why the conspiratorial mindset is erroneous, because people see conspiracy when there is emergence. Like what you said, there's a bottom up, there's a decentralized, all of the testimony and of everyone involved. There isn't some top down plot where a few people figured out this is the story. And then you know, we see conspiracy when oftentimes it's actually just emergence.
I just think eventually you're not going to get everyone to learn what is good evidence and what isn't, but tying the Holocaust to medical consensus, there's more, you know, there's debate within medical consensus for various things, but if you have no trust in it whatsoever, you've screwed yourself over completely.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, at some point, the conspiracy theorist has to completely turn away from the world. They can't trust, again, the loved ones, can't trust your own eyes. Then it really becomes like The Matrix. How do I know I'm not in a simulation that the puppeteers have crafted to? And David Icke tries to incorporate something like this, because now I realize I feel like I'm saying something they don't believe in. But it turns out, no, there are conspiracy people who take this line of thought further.
You have to have some tiny bit of trust in the sheer quantity of people who have said something. And that gets a little dicey, because I just started talking myself into, like, well, aren't you mostly an atheist and religion is, but we know the Holocaust happened. We have a bunch of evidence. We have millions and millions of people who saw it. We have, perpetrators who are like, no, that happened. I was there. And we have people fundamentally misunderstanding, for example, if you update a death count and you lower it, and you saw this in COVID too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good sign. We're adjusting. Death counts are tricky in everything I've ever heard of. If you are, well, great. Fewer people died, and you presumably you have more data and you were more closer to accurate.
Yeah.
Or if people had slightly different experiences, my God, it must all be a lie. No, if everyone had the exact same experience.
Exactly.
That would be much stranger.
Exactly.
If no story changed, if there was no variation, that would be bizarre.
And if that for some reason was the case, or if we never adjusted anything, then they would take that as evidence of, oh, well, you know, that's what I mean. Everything is evidence for the conspiracy in that mindset. Like, oh, if you didn't change anything, well, that's weird. Wouldn't you have found new information to change it? Like, clearly there's strangeness there. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Many of them don't get that far, but that's true. I mean, this is why it's sort of why I have a dull headache just thinking about this.
I love to give you a dull headache in our podcasts.
No, this isn't really moot, but other people have to get themselves out of these mindsets themselves. People help other people all the time, but there's something that has to shift in other people. There has to be a tiny light, maybe just a night light.
Yeah, I don't know. I think on some level it is a matter of, I don't know, pulling yourself up by your cognitive bootstraps. It is irreducibly individual in some way. And I think all the conditioning and all of the environmental concerns, or however you want to phrase those things, don't excuse anyone in an ultimate sense for believing terrible things. But they play a role too. I don't know.
I'm always waiting for a redemption story, even with the worst people. And we've talked about that. Like,
love a good redemption story. Well, I think this might be a good note to wrap up on here. We've We've fully repudiated the conspiracy theorists. I don't think we have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is the end of the podcast. I just, man, you just gotta know how humans work a little bit, and you gotta know how institutions work a little bit, and know the type of flaws. You need, like, Hayek, secretly. Sorry,
Sure. What I was referencing earlier with emergence, I mean, that's kind of what was on my mind, too. You know, there are these two forms. I mean, we have conspiracy in a basic sense all the time. We cooperate. We're conspiring to do the podcast right now. But there's also emergence. There's unintended consequences. There's things that come about that no one was secretly plotting to bring about behind the curtain.
Just because the institution or the in charge guy says something doesn't mean it didn't happen. Like,
you yeah.
need more data.
Yeah. Well, I'm conspiring to wrap up our show, to let our listeners go back to their petty lives.
Their small petty lives
that when they leave.
I don't know what kind of supervillain way to talk about that.
I know the hour to hour and a half they watch our show is when they live life to the fullest and they feel sort of the grace of life really. So sorry to bring that to an end, viewers, but enjoy the rest of your day, which will be sure to decline in quality.
Wow. Well, because the rest of your day is not going to be my birthday or international.
Well, the rest of the day is those things.
Well, they're not watching this now.
Oh.
Or, as my brother said, Judas Priest album release day, which
that's really what we're here for. I mean, I've never listened to Judas Priest, but. Not purposely,
no,
but
I enjoyed his enthusiasm, wishing me a good day for all three of those events. So I'm going to go do something for my birthday. Like, I don't know.
Go party. Go out on the town. Go out on the strip, you know?
Nah, I'll probably try to get some sushi or something delicious.
That sounds good. That sounds like a good birthday in my book.
Mm-hmm. Well, Corey, well, audience that will be here one day. I had a good time, as always.
Me too. Grand time.
We will see you again next time, audience. Corey, lovely as always.
Yes. See you in some indeterminate day in the future. Maybe your next birthday. Maybe your next birthday. Who knows?
Let's do before that, please.
All right, we'll do one of your unbirthdays. Solid.
April.
Solid.
Springtime podcast.
Do you have an unbirthday in April?
Easter Bunny. What is an unbirthday? I forget.
Unbirthday is every day that's not your birthday.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a couple.
You have a couple of those in April? All right. Yeah. Me too. That's so funny. We have the same unbirthday. Nice.
That's true. So I'll see you then on many of the unbirthdays that we share.
Let's do it.